11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Tuesday, January 21st, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The second session of the 28th Alaska Legislature opens today, and Representative Jonathan Christ-Tompkins has something he lacked last year, experience. While he's still the youngest legislator on the Hill in Juneau and still a member of the minority, the Sitka Democrat has already pre-filed one bill on native languages and remains deeply skeptical of the governor's efforts to boost oil production by reducing taxes on industry profits. Christ-Tompkins was in Sitka last week meeting with constituents. He stopped by KCAW and spoke with Robert Woolsey about his plans for the coming session.
In December, the governor submitted a deficit budget to the legislature. It's a starting point, and there's no funding for any of several major hydroelectric projects in Southeast. Sitka asked for $18.5 million to complete the Blue Lake Hydro expansion. The governor left open the possibility of an add-on, but Jonathan Christ-Tompkins is not crossing his fingers.
I wouldn't say it's likely.
2 years ago, $18 million would have been small potatoes in the state's capital budget. Now that he's having to pull money out of savings to make ends meet, the governor is probably going to rein in spending significantly.
The year before I got into the legislature, back in the era of surpluses, was the legislative add-ons were, I think, in the neighborhood of $2 billion. And last year, the legislative add-ons were in the neighborhood of $400 million. So that's shrinking fourfold.
But it's not nothing for Sitka or other communities in Christ-Tompkins District. Sitka, for instance, will see several million dollars for long overdue repairs to the water system.
My personal priority for capital projects are basic infrastructure, and that's the foundation of a community. And I absolutely think we need to take care of basic infrastructure before anything else.
Does basic infrastructure include $25 million for a new swimming pool at the state-owned Mount Edgecombe Boarding School? Although the base funding was approved by voters in a bond package 2 years ago, there's been a tug of war over the supplemental funding needed to make that project a reality. Christ-Tompkins thinks the $1 million in estimated annual operating costs is curbing the Department of Education's enthusiasm for the project. He just hopes whatever happens makes sense.
I mean, I'm just really interested in the fiscally responsible outcome.
The shortfall in state funding this year was planned, a deliberate move on the part of the governor and a Republican majority in the legislature to stimulate investment in oil production on the North Slope. The oil tax cut, which is known as Senate Bill 21, makes no sense to Christ-Tompkins. He says the big three oil producers made almost $10 billion in Alaska last year before the tax break. Christ-Tompkins and his Senate counterpart, Bert Stedman, see eye to eye on this point.
If you're making literally billions upon billions of dollars in profit, where is the incentive not to invest? I mean, it's a cash cow up there. It's incredibly profitable to drill in Alaska. And we're not an oligarchy. We're not going to nationalize. We're not going to create the Alaska State Oil Company and take all their assets like what happens in the Middle East or elsewhere. So that's what I consistently find myself asking. And the argument that we need to cut taxes even more and that they need to have even more profitable fields for them to invest seems so fundamentally logically flawed.
Christ-Tompkins spent the day in Sitka meeting with constituents before his interview. A major concern was how many people are not being served by the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare.
It's tragic. There's a donut hole into which people fall.
The Supreme Court in 2012 upheld the ACA, but allowed governors to opt out of a provision to expand Medicaid to working people living above the poverty line, but who don't qualify for subsidies to help pay their premiums. It turns out there are a lot of fishermen and deckhands who fall into the donut hole, and Christ-Tompkins says there's not a thing the legislature can do about it.
I wish we could, but we cannot. It's the governor's decision. And the governor has said he's very concerned about these people who are uninsured. And, I mean, who isn't concerned about people who are uninsured, and that he's going to take steps to address the problem? We haven't heard what those steps are.
Last year, Christ-Tompkins took a listen-and-learn approach to the legislature and deliberately refrained from introducing his own bills. This year, he's pre-filed a bill co-sponsored by a fellow Democrat and two Republicans, making the 21 native languages still spoken in Alaska official state languages. There won't be any bilingual signs or state documents, as in Canada. In fact, no added bureaucracy whatsoever. Christ Tompkins said it's just an acknowledgement of the importance of native languages to culture. He says he spoke with an Alaskan artist living in Seattle who told him that
this bill is inspiring. It acknowledges the importance of what I've dedicated my life to. And he's considering moving back to his hometown to try to apprentice with an elder to learn his language. So, I mean, I really truly believe, I mean, it's a symbolic change, but it's going to lead to real action through the empowerment of these cultures and these languages.
2014 is an election year. Whatever happens in November, Christ Tompkins won't be representing communities like Haines or Metlakatla next year. His new district reunites Sitka and Petersburg. Christ Tompkins supports the change. He calls the redistricting process a fiasco and the current map modern art. Although he's recently returned from a visit to Petersburg, he plans to take the high road and represent the voters who put him in office rather than those who may send him back.
In a political campaign sense, you know, when I'm running for re-election, it very much does change my thinking. But there isn't really, you know, say a Petersburg issue that I'm suddenly going to be championing and a Haines issue I'm suddenly not going to be working on.
Christ Tompkins seems buoyed by the prospect of returning to Juneau. He put his legislative vanity license plate with the number 37 on his bicycle. He's 24 years old, turning 25 in February. His first day in the last session was memorable. He thinks this session will be different. At least they won't mistake me for an intern, he says. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And your high school might have had a wrestling team, but how many wrestlers were girls? There are more than a dozen girls on Sitka's Mount Edgecombe High School wrestling team, and they regularly beat boys in their weight class. The team is tackling more than just gender barriers. They're paving the way for the first girls-sanctioned wrestling tournament in the state of Alaska. KCAW's Emily Foreman has the story.
Send your lightest sky out!
Deirdre Creed is just a few pounds shy of 100. But don't let her petite build and golden locks fool you. She is dangerous.
I feel pain, but usually if you're the one on top, you're the one inflicting the pain.
At a recent wrestling practice, Dee Dee faces her opponent. She crouches low with outstretched arms, and when the whistle blows, she lunges forward and hooks a knee, knocking her opponent to the ground. It's over fast.
I'd always feel good because I'd always be the underdog because I was the girl, so it'd always feel extra special to win.
Since there isn't a girls' wrestling team, Dee Dee wrestles boys. She's a senior and just competed in the last state tournament of her high school career, but she hopes the younger girls on her team will someday compete in a girls-only season. This idea is not far-fetched. The Alaska School Activities Board is reviewing a proposal to create a girls-sanctioned tournament. If approved, it will be thanks to this guy.
My name is Mike Kimber, and I'm the wrestling coach at Mount Edgecombe High School.
One, two, three, four.
At practice, Kimber stands at the center of the mat, barking out drills. He's wearing a t-shirt that says, Girl Wrestlers Rule.
Push-ups.
Kimber has coached the Mount Edgecombe wrestling team for 15 seasons. He started recruiting girls in his second year. While Mount Edgecombe isn't the only team in Alaska with girls, they likely have the most. Kimber estimates he coaches 26 girls. 19 made it to regionals.
Matter of fact, my first nationally ranked wrestler was a girl, a young lady from Cold Bay named Sonia Maxwell. She qualified for the state tournament at 189 pounds against boys.
Kimber is also a Mount Edgecombe wrestling alum. When he competed, there were only a few girls on the team. Kimber remembers a time when schools would forfeit matches if girls came to wrestle. Now there's a lot less resistance, but it's still hard to shake the stereotypes.
You know, I think the part that's most surprising is when you come around and see people and they go, really, girls wrestle? When we go on our trips, oh, so you guys are managers? And I go, no, they're wrestlers. What do you mean they're wrestlers?
Kimber loves the sport and is adamant that it needs girls to grow. His father coached girls, and his daughter is a star wrestler. He has high but equal expectations for all his wrestlers. That kind of equality is appealing to the girls. they feel supported and challenged.
I much rather enjoy coaching girls than the boys sometimes. People say, oh, there's so much drama with girls, but really the drama on our team, it usually centers around the boys and very little around the girls.
The person that might have the most insight on how girls and boys approach the sport differently is Dee Dee's twin brother, Trevor. The pair have been wrestling for as long as they can remember.
I'm bigger, I can muscle around. So she has to, like, trick me by maybe push my head another direction, go that other direction. So she has to use her mind more than she wrestles.
It looks like girls wrestling is in Alaska's future. Kimber was the first to petition the Alaska School Activities Board to create a girls wrestling season. And at a board hearing in December, Kimber and other coaches around Southeast made a compelling case. Andrew Frisky, the Southeast representative on the Alaska School Activities Board, says the idea of girls wrestling isn't a hard sell.
These are coaches that have been around for, you know, 15, 20 years, and they said it's a no-brainer for them to start girls wrestling. And they think with more girls, there's going to be more boys that come out. They're going to have a stronger program.
But there are still some hurdles, and the board wants to make sure they weigh the financial implications and logistics of a new state tournament. In the end, the board decided to back a proposal where girls would continue to compete against boys throughout the season, but the regional and state tournament would be girls sanctioned. As for Dee Dee, she hopes to continue wrestling in college. Her performance at state caught the eye of recruiters, winning her an invitation to represent Alaska at this year's Arctic Winter Games. That's a first for a Mount Edgecombe girl wrestler. For AK, I'm Emily Foreman.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 48 degrees in downtown Sitka and overcast. Rain is in the forecast throughout our listening region through tomorrow. Stay tuned for National Public Radio and a live interview at 8:18. Have a good morning.